Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos Perek Gimel Halacha Yud. We've had a little bit of a break. The last topic we talked about was Shehiya. If you can leave food on the oven before Shabbos, the last onto Shabbos. Halacha Yud goes into a new topic called Chazorah. If you're allowed to return food that's on the oven stove on Shabbos, can you take it off? You can always take it off. The question is, after you take it off, can you put it back on? That's not a question. It's called chazorah. Okay? One thing we know you cannot do. You cannot take food, cooked food, okay? Cooked food out of the refrigerator and put it into the stove on Shabbos. You cannot do that on Shabbos. You cannot take cooked food on Shabbos. Well, for sure, uncooked, without a question, uncooked.
Uncooked is a really...
We said you can't take even
fully cooked,
even fully cooked food and just put it right into the oven or right on top of the burner on Shabbos. You can't do it. Even though biblically you don't transgress one prohibition, but rabbinically they say you can't do that because it looks like you're cooking something. So rabbinically you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Okay? Because when you take something in a pot and put it in the oven, people look and say, oh, the guy's cooking on Shabbos. And it's not hard to see how people would make that error. So that you cannot do. That you cannot do on Shabbos. So now the issue is here, on the stove on Shabbos, you're taking it off of the stove. Let's say you want to serve some food Friday night. And then you want to put it back on top of the stove. That's called chazorah. Can you do chazorah on Shabbos? So the answer is yes, but there has to be a number of conditions met. The Rambam will not mention all of them. As I remember, I have some notes from a different class, so I'll hand them out to give you some bullet points that gives you all the points you need for halacha l'maisa, how and when you can do chazorah. So that's the topic of halacha yud. Kol shemuter l'shahoso al gabei ha'esh. Anything that you're allowed to leave on top of the fire, an Erev Shabbos coming into Shabbos, as we've discussed in the last number of halachas. Whatever you're allowed to leave on Shabbos, kishenot linoso b'Shabbos, when you take it off on Shabbos, it's going to be sometime you might be taking it off on Shabbos, osur lahachziro limakomo. You're not allowed to return it to its place. Okay? Ve'ein machzirin lo'olam. And you can never put it back on its place. Ella, except al gabe kira grufa o machusa. Unless it's on top of a kira, already discussed, it's that type of oven that's been grufa o machusa. Either the coals have been removed or the coals have been covered. So the first condition of returning something back to the fire is if it's the coals are covered or taken removed. Oh, bikira, if we're talking about a kira, which has a higher intensity of fire, if you recall, because it's more narrow at the top. The kofach is in between the kira and the tanur. Shahusku bakashu bagava, they were heated up with straw and stubble that don't produce coals. Remember we talked about the issue of we're afraid you might be stoking the coals. So again, what's the main idea? What's all these things have in common, these elements? One of the concerns are you'll stoke the coal, you'll make the fire bigger. So if you're putting something back, you might, you know, because it could get cold. Let's say you took it off the fire for 10, 15 minutes, let's say. It can cool off a bit. So you want it to warm up again. You put it back on, you know, you might want to stoke the coal to get it hot faster. So you have to have that. So they're giving you different permutations of that. That's step number one, point one. Also, point number two, v'hu shalohi niach akter al gabei karka. Also, you can't put the pot on top of the ground, right? Because once you're putting on top of the ground, it kind of ends this cooking process, so to speak. Avo meshinich al gabei karka, once you put it down on the ground, ein machzir no, so you can't put it back. Because that's like, remember, you start off with a shehiyah. Remember, Erev Shabbos, it's sitting on the stove. Shehiyah is allowed. Shehiyah, as long as it's sitting on the stove, it's okay the way it is. So we got two distinct things. We got, it's on the stove as Shabbos comes on, and it's on the stove on Shabbos. That's shehiyah, and we've described how it's in a permitted state. Then you got another steak that's for sure not good, something that's never been on the stove on Shabbos, and you want to put it on, you can't do that. Right? So those are two polaric extremes. Now you've taken something that's been on the stove on Shabbos, you're taking it off. Now, the only way I can put it back is if I haven't removed its connection to the stove that it had in the permitted state. So once something happens that kind of disconnects, now it's like no different than being in the fridge, so to speak. Right. And then it ends, the first cooking process ends, and I want to start a new cooking process, which we can't do on Shabbos, even if the thing is fully cooked. So you hear the conundrum here. If it's on the stove, you're fine. If we met the criteria to keep it on the stove before and on Shabbos, so it stays on the stove, we're fine. And it stays the whole Shabbos. If you take something that was never on the stove, you can't put it on at all on Shabbos, because that looks like you're cooking. So now, once you're taking it off the stove, what process happens that removes its connection to being on the stove, and now it's considered totally off the stove, and now it's like you're starting all over, which is not allowed to be done. So first of all, Rambam is saying is, you can't have it that you could stoke those coals in any way, because that's one of the major problems that you have even to begin with, number one. Number two, if you put it down on the ground, okay, so that for sure means I'm finished with the stove. If you're holding it in your hand, well, I'm just taking it, but I'm going to put it back. See, I haven't definitively removed it. Just because I picked it off the stove doesn't mean I don't plan on putting it back. Once I put it down, especially on the ground, that means it ain't coming back to the stove. Right, we'll see there's a lot more conditions that we're going to get to, and I'm going to speak them all out. But we're just doing the ones that Rambam's talking about, yeah?
Just about on the ground. If you put it on the ground, but your intention is to put it back.
So we'll see. I'd say there's more conditions. Okay, there's more conditions. So that's what he says. So if once on the ground, I'll go back. Even if the stove has been cleaned out from the coals or covered, still you can't put it back. Why? Because now there's a new problem is what? That you've ended the first process. Seeing it's not a problem, you might stoke the coals, but you can't put it on to the stove fresh, new, because it looks like you're cooking it.
You've disconnected. It's all
right.
Attachment.
Once it's a disconnect, it looks like cooking. As long as it's on the stove, nobody's going to suspect you of cooking it because it was there before Shabbos.
Exactly.
When we see a person take something from off the stove, put it on the stove, it looks like he's cooking on Shabbos. So if I took it off the stove and it's in my hand, so okay, as long as it's in my hand, you don't hold it for 3 hours, right? So, you know, the person sees you take it off the stove, sees you put it back on the stove. Once you're putting it down on the ground, you've kind of ended that process, and now a new process begins, and that's not allowed.
Didn't you just say, though, Rabbi, if it's covered, you still can't put it back on?
Correct. You need.
But you can do that with a blech.
There's five conditions.
We've only started in the first.
There's
two.
Five conditions over here. When you take something off that blech, there's five conditions that have to be met if you want to put it back on the blech. Now,
something new.
And remember, we're not talking about, there's blech and there's hot plates. There's different things going on over here. We're talking about something that's a stove with fire.
There's an element.
A stove with fire. There's an element. You got the element on. You got the fire on. And it's got to be covered with a blech, right? That's like real stove. We're not talking about a non-adjustable hot plate. Because that's not a stove. Nobody would suspect you of cooking with a non-adjustable hot plate. Right? So that's a whole different scenario. We're talking about putting stuffing on the blech. Okay. Now, ve'ein machsirin l'taner v'lo l'kufach shehusku begeveso eitzim. You don't return something to the taner, which is much hotter, and the kufach, which is in between taner and kira, that's been removed. The gefes or the eitzim, the trees and the what's the gefes?
The olives.
They have an exothermic
reaction.
Right. Afal pishagor v'kisim, though you clean it up, because they're very, very hot. V'chol she'ein machzir and olav. And if you're not allowed to return it, similar situation. Ein somchim lo b'shabbos. You can't even lean it by the fire. However, there are many rishonim who argue on this, and they disagree with the Rambam. Because that it doesn't look like cooking. In other words, you put it near the fire, and they argue on this point of the Rambam, and we don't hold like the Rambam in this situation. Okay, so Rambam tells you a little, but not enough to paskin l'halacha. So I got this handy nandy little sheet over here. So there's two sides to it. So I hope I made enough. One second.
It's nice heavy.
Yeah, two sensors. Okay, so just pass those around, and we'll just go through this for a few minutes, so you'll get the real halacha over here. Okay, so again, the problem being when returning something to the blech, right? It looks like it could look like cooking if you don't have all the situations, and it might cool off when you take them off. You might stoke the coals. So the side with all the words and no pictures is the academic side of the page. The other side with the pictures is for those who work more with the other side of the brain, and it's just a little more graphic description of that.
So you got right and left side of brain material.
So we'll look at the pictures first, okay? And these are the five conditions that should initially exist if you want to put something back on the flame. Number one, the fire or the heating element must be covered by something not normally used for cooking, such as a blech. Okay, and that, for our sake, is like grufa uketuma. It's like remove the coals, cover the coals. There's no likelihood that you are going to raise the fire, right? And we've already discussed how, with a stove top, the knobs should be covered, and covering the knobs alone is not going to be good enough, and things like that. Okay, so that's number one. Number two. The food must be fully cooked. Obviously, if it's not fully cooked, if you return it, what's going to happen?
You're going
to
cook.
You'll be cooking it. So that for sure you're not allowed to. Does everybody got a sheet? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Number three, the food must still be slightly warm. It means it should not be completely cooled. Whereas it's warm from the original staying, so that's all things connected to the original cooking process. Number four and five, there must be a prior intention to return the vessel. When you're taking it off, you have in mind to put it back. And number five, the vessel must continue to be held until you return. In other words, you're not putting it on the floor. Okay, we'll discuss all the details of this.
Yes.
But that's the pure halacha. Those are the pure five. I will explain everything, believe me.
I just have a quick question. Does this apply to the liquid as well? I don't know if the Rav already mentioned that before.
This is all the same.
This is all the same.
Everything's the same. Everything's the same. A hot soup is no different than a hot chicken. It's all the same.
The inside of a stove out?
So we'll talk about it. So now turn the side. Okay. We'll also see in a minute. Okay. So let's go to the other side now, and let's get into a little bit more details over here. Okay, again, going through the five conditions, but a little more detail now. So again, grufa or ketuma, the flame must be covered. So now, number one, it's permissible to transfer, here's a big chiddush, even if you had the pot on an open fire, let's say you had it on top of the stove, without a blech, and you don't necessarily have to have a blech all the time. Remember we said if the food is fully cooked, or even two-thirds cooked, one half cook. Then it's allowed to be on the stove on the onset of Shabbos. The reason you're going to want to have the blech is for chazara, for returning. Okay, that's what's important. So anyway, so let's say you had the pot of soup right on top of the burner, not on a blech, right? So now you could transfer a pot from the open fire, and you can now put on a burner that is covered. That would be the same thing, because it's one cooking process. It was on one burner, you're putting on another burner, but that burner is covered now.
It doesn't have to be returned to the same burner.
So that's one important thing. Now, obviously, this will not work with ovens, no matter what, because the oven has to have a blech.
Or an insert.
Right? So now, what blech does an oven have? It would have to be a six-sided insert. Right.
You could take it from the oven and put it on a blech.
You could take it out of the oven and put it on a blech.
Right.
But you can't put anything back in the oven because there's no way, unless you're going to buy an insert and have an insert. And there's nobody in Toronto that I know.
Near Israel has them.
They do?
Yeah. Some of the families
okay.
have them.
Or go to Borough Park, you'll find it. Yeah. But I mean, it's, and it will obviously make the oven work a lot less effectively. And
right. Well, they only use it on shops.
But anyway. Yeah, it's an insert.
Well, yeah,
it's an insert. Box. It's a box inside the oven. Okay. All right. Now, again, if you'd have an adjustable hot plate, if it's an adjustable one, then that's much more difficult. You really would have to cover it up somehow with aluminum foil or something and covering up the knobs. But, right? However, non-adjustable hot plates do not require a blech, you see, because there's no way you could raise the flame in a non-adjustable
thing. It's impossible.
It's not possible. A crock pot the way I was taught is you only have to cover the knobs and that's it. There's some who say you have to put aluminum foil inside as well, right. But I was told you don't have to do it. You'll break the crockpot, whatever. You don't have to do it. You'll see people do it, but anyway. But you don't have to. So that's in terms of grufa or ketuma. Okay? Yes, sir.
With regards to a hot plate, we have a hot plate that parts are much hotter than other parts.
Doesn't matter. I don't care how hot it is. No one is going to cook on a hot plate.
Yeah, there's a circle.
Doesn't matter. Nobody. Did you ever see anyone in Toronto take something raw and cook it on a hot plate?
But you could.
Nobody does it.
How many people do it? It takes
nobody
forever.
Does it. That's all. Forever. People. Nobody would suspect you of cooking. I know there's postman Eretz Yisrael who say not like that.
Whoa, you know what? I actually melted cheese with it on Pesach.
I'm not saying you can't. Okay. You're just saying no one would do that.
I did it!
Okay, but
that's good.
But milking cheese is totally different. You don't need hot sun to melt cheese too.
I'm just saying you don't use it. It's not a cooking thing, and we don't hold it as a cooking thing. Okay, so that's the grufa or ketuma. Mavushal called sarko means totally cooked. It's got to be completely cooked. Again, odocham still warm enough, right? The whole thing. In other words, it could be enjoyed as warm food or as a warm drink. Doesn't have to be piping hot. Okay. Same thing with liquids, as long as it's warm enough. It doesn't have to be boiling hot soup, but if it's warm, that's still
good. But for spartum, doesn't it have to be hotter?
I don't recall
like
right
now. At the base yosef.
All the spartum halachas.
No. I'm talking about it has to be a certain heat, significant heat to it.
Okay. Finally, odo biyado, still in his hand. So again, the practical application is it doesn't have to be suspended in midair the whole time. You know, you could really put the pot down on a counter and a table as long as you're still holding on to the pot. Okay? And it's preferable not to rest it on the floor even if you're still holding the pot because the floor really, you know, looks like you're finished. The main point of this is to make it recognizable that you plan on returning it. That's the main thing. So if you're holding it, that's good enough. You know, and even if it's on the counter, you know, because you're going to hold it while you're serving the soup and hold it and all, it's going to make you crazy. But if you got the pot, you're holding it just on the counter. You keep your hand on it and ladle it out and then take it and put it back. That is good enough. And finally, daito lahachsiro is that the original intention was to return the pot to the blech. Now, what does that really mean? It means that you didn't have an intention not to put it back. So if you had no particular intention, let's say you weren't thinking when you're lifting the pot off, then that's considered as if you're planning on putting it back. Really, it's to exclude that you were intending not to put it back. Okay, that's in terms of that. Those are the five. So invariably, what happens? They always say, but what if I forgot any of them? What's the law? So the law is like
first
this.
Three.
The first three are absolutely required. If you don't have the first three, forget it.
You're out of the loop.
You can't put it back. Now we're talking about things that look like fires. You know, it's a stove top with a blech and you want to put it back right on the fire, right? We're not talking about hot plates that are not adjustable.
Right.
They have different laws. We're talking about putting it back on that original real flame. Where's a flame? You had a soup that was on top of the stove that had a blech and there's a fire under that and you've taken it off and you'll put it right back onto that fire. Right? So that you'd need all these conditions. But we're talking about things that aren't a main fire, then you could do it even out of the refrigerator under many circumstances from the beginning. We're talking where there's the concern that it looks like you're cooking for the first time. All right?
I don't use a blech, but I would have thought that a blech on top of a stovetop would not look like the way people normally cook. Unless you have this big piece of metal on top of the stove, doesn't that make people think, well, they're not really cooking?
But it's right on top of a stove with the element that's on. So that's, you know, that's pretty darn looking like cooking.
So you
cooking,
can take an aluminum
right?
pan and turn it
may not be efficient cooking, but it's certainly, everybody cooks on top of a stovetop. The fire's on, right? You're putting it on top of the fire, right? So they might think you're doing it so you won't burn it, right? But that's a, so those first three conditions must be adhered to. That's why we're so particular about the blech. You know, you don't need the blech so much, for shehiyah purposes. Because if it's fully cooked before Shabbos, there's no problem. But yeah. The problem is you want to return it. Yeah. And you know, what if it comes off by mistake and you want to put it back? Then there's all kinds of problems. So if you don't have that condition of it being covered, you're out. You can never put it back on. If it's not fully cooked, if it's not still warm, those are not negotiables. Now, the last two conditions initially should be adhered to, but b'di'eved, we say if you neglected the last two conditions, chazara would be allowed. And it's certainly better if only one condition is not met. And if there's one condition not met, we'll be more lenient. If both of those fourth and fifth conditions not met, we're less inclined to be lenient unless it's an extremely important part of the food, let's say the chulent for Shabbos afternoon. In other words, if you're missing one of the fourth or the fifth, one of them, will b'di'eved say it's okay, you can put it back. If you're missing the fourth and the fifth, then if you already got three kugels that are warm and it's just the fourth kugel,
we'll say no. If you were part of Rabbi Chalos,
we're not going to let you put it back. But if it was the chulent, that's the main staple for tomorrow morning, and some people took the chulent out at night, want to have a little nosh, and you want to put it back on, and then if you're not allowed to, we'll have no chulent for the whole family tomorrow. Then even if you're missing four and five, we'll let you b'di'eved put it back.
Isn't that kind of manipulating the laws? Like either you should be able to or shouldn't be able to.
So reasons like this, because there's a lot of disputes. I'm saving all the disputes of the rabbis over here. There's a lot of disputes. See, the Rambam, what did the Rambam say? The Rambam only said, what did he say? That it's covered, right? And you have in mind to put it back. That's it. No, he didn't say in mind. He just said don't put it on the ground. And that's it. He doesn't say anything more. Other poskim argue with him. And say other conditions. So we kind of are strict in sense that we want to fill all the rabbis' opinions. Because the Rambam says, obviously everyone agrees that it has to be fully cooked. There's something that the Rambam doesn't mention because it's obvious. Alright? It's got to be warm.
Yeah.
That's kind of obvious. But this other one of, still I didn't put it on the ground yet. I have a mind to put it back. There's an argument. So therefore, since it's an argument, so we try to have all the opinions. But if already don't have all the opinion, don't have it all, then you've got, the rabbi only said one, another rabbi only said the other one. So now, since argument, okay, so then, if I'm missing one, I got another rabbi to rely on. And if I'm missing both, I could probably rely on something as well on that. So
there are people to rely on if you're missing both.
Right. So therefore, we have all kinds of situations over here. So let's say, for example, you took away from a pot of warm, completely cooked food, before Shabbos, and you were intending on putting it right back on before Shabbos, and you forgot to put it back. Okay, so then you'd be allowed to put it back. You understand? Because you had, even though, right, you planned on putting it back, what was the only problem? You put it down.
Yeah.
So I missed one of the conditions. So Biddy, and it was the soup. You're juggling the blech and you're moving things around. Okay, I want the other stuff to get warm now.
But it was fully cooked before you did that.
And
it still hasn't cooled off.
It hasn't cooled off. And I put it on the side and I really wanted to go back on Shabbos. And then the wife is busy. She has to light candles and she forgot. And she goes, I left the soup off. I wanted the soup to be on. My mamish wanted to be on. So it's hot. It's cooked. It's this. It's everything. Right? But what are you missing? You're missing. I forgot and I put it down.
Right.
So then we'll say that's okay.
Now, it seems like the fourth one is really unlikely. I mean, why would you have in mind you don't want to put it back?
You took the soup off. You took the soup off. You say, I want to save it for Matzah Shabbos.
Yeah.
I'll have enough for Matzah Shabbos. And then three new guests came in.
Oh my goodness.
Or all the kids said they want doubles.
Yeah.
And they never asked for more, and you made an amazing soup. And you had in mind, I'll have enough for Matzah Shabbos, we'll have for Sunday night supper, I'll take it off now, we'll already put it in the fridge so it won't spoil, You have that all in mind. And all of a sudden everybody says, we want more. So that could happen, right? Similarly, the next point, if pots were removed from the blech on Shabbos, right? Now if, let's say, and your intention was to return it there, but inadvertently you put it down, again, you could put it back. Or let's say you lifted the pot from the blech intending not to return it, but you still have the pot in your hand.
Right.
So again, if one of those two exist, then, and you need it, we certainly would be lenient. And again, if there's a genuine need, and you mamish have to have that food, then even if you're missing those two things, it's okay. Or let's say, the pilot light went out in one of the burners, and you didn't realize on Shabbos, right? Not if you turned it off before Shabbos, but you had let's say two burners on, right? And one burner you thought the soup was cooking, and then it just went out. Yeah. So similarly, you could put it back on. Or let's say you wanted to take a couple pots off, and you took the wrong pot off.
Yeah.
And that was the one you wanted to keep on. So that can be put back as well.
As it hasn't cooled off.
Okay. So now, there's not one more thing that's very important to mention about to move from one source of fire to another source of fire. We says it's also okay. And look at the examples that are very instructive here. I wrote on the bottom there, one may add boiling water from the kettle on the blech into a cholent. Mm. Okay, let's say your cholent and your crock pot is getting dry. Right? And if you don't tend to it, it will burn. You notice that 9 o'clock at night, on Friday night, there's no water left in that cholent. And you're going to be in big trouble by 12 o'clock the next day. Ain't going to be no cholent. Right? So now you could take, you got water on a kettle that's simmering hot. It's on the fire. Everything's fine. And you want to take water from the kettle or the urn. We'll talk about that. You want to put it right into the cholent pot. So you could just take the kettle and pour it right into the cholent pot. There's no problem. Because it's like chazara, but from one place to the other. But let's say you have an urn. So it's very hard to move the urn all the way to the cholent pot. So now what you can also do is you can take that boiling hot water from the kettle, put it into a cup. And while you're holding the cup in your hand, right?
From the
kettle to the cup.
Yeah.
What did I say?
From the urn.
Urn. I'm sorry.
Taking the urn, pouring one.
Okay, I meant an urn. You could do both. You could do both, but it's more standard by an urn because you can't move the urn.
Yeah.
It could be a kettle too. It doesn't matter. From a kettle or an urn, you're pouring hot water into a cup.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, and you're holding it in your hand, and now take that cup and put it into the cholent pot. Uh-huh. Can also be done. Even though you're putting it into a new cup, right, which right. You think, oh, well, that's already a whole new thing in the equation. Yeah. Oh, but I put a correction there. Didn't I put a correction there? Here. So you know what?
It's
I have.
Boiled water from a kettle.
What's
number three? Hot water from a kettle.
Hot water. Wait, we'll see. We'll see. So I didn't get to three yet. I only got to two. I didn't get to two yet. I'm gonna get to three. I did number two. One may pour boiled water from a kettle into a cup and then add the water to the cholent. Now I'm gonna explain three. What? Guys, don't make it harder. Just, again, you got boiling hot water in a kettle, putting it in a cup, it can go into the cholent pot. Now what was point three? Point three is a new point that I didn't get to yet. Now the urns, it depends on the kind of urns you have. And that's what the issue is here. There are some urns that don't get things to be too hot. So if they don't get too hot, let's say it's below 212, whatever, 210?
212.
212, yeah. That's 100, right?
100.
Right? So if it's below that and you're going to put it into a cholent pot that does take it to 212, then you're going to have a problem. Because then you're heating the water. So that you have to know what kind of urn you have. And that's what I'm saying. If the urn is below 212, and it's not really boiling, that kind of boiling hot. And you would put it into a pot, chombat, that is such boiling hot, that's a problem. And not to do with chazora now,
it's
a question of cooking.
You're cooking
so now you have to check your urn vis-a-vis your cholent pot, and it will be all kinds of differences. Every cholent pot is not created equal. And not all urns are created equal. You could have some cholent pots I've had, when you have it on low, it's pathetically low, and it's not even close to 212. And the urn, even an urn that's not 212, is much hotter than the crock pot setting. On the other hand, you have some urns that are pathetic urns in terms of heat, and some crock pots, even the lowest setting is extremely hot, and then you could not put the urn water into that. So there's no hard and fast rule. I've just said a rule. The hot water from an urn that's below 212 can't pour it into cholent, which might be boiled. And that is an accurate statement.
Yes.
Now you have to adjust your own utensils to see what fits into the rules over here.
Basically, the water that's going into the...
Well, you gotta check before Shabbos.
You put put a thermometer.
Either put a thermometer in, or you.
No, what you could do is you could take the water and put it into a cup and measure the temperature before Shabbos.
Okay.
This is higher than the.
Basically, the water.
Okay, so then you've got. So you've got to. Some are. Some are. Maybe a samovar. I don't know. Some are very hot.
Yeah, ours is very hot.
So you got to check it out. You got to just check it out. You got to do a little research. So there's some shulam pots, you know, like the shulam pot we have now, that when it's on low, it's not hot at all. It's like I can put my hand on it almost, and nothing's going on over there, which I cannot do with the urn. No matter what urn, I can't put my hand over there. So then I know the urn is hotter than my shulam pot. And sometimes it was different. So you should get a very powerful urn and a crock pot that has at least one very weak setting, so you don't have to deal with that. Yeah?
Does the urn have to keep it at 212 or just get it there once?
Well, it should, if it goes too far below it.
At the moment you're pouring. Right. The point is the water.
But then it can be, okay, so then you'd have on whom to rely on. You'd have shittas to rely on that there's some say there's no bishalach or bishal under that circumstance. But it could be it never reached 212.
At the moment.
Then that's a problem.
There
are some urns that don't get it to 212 to begin with. You're right. But generally, if it got it to 212, it won't go below 212.
Right.
It will? Okay.
So pump pots
tend to do that. What pots?
Pump pots.
Oh, okay. So if it did get to 212 and then went a little bit below, you could still put it in.
It was fully cooked then.
That's good. Yeah.
So given what you just said about number three, but going back to number two, don't we always say klisheni, you can pour water into klisheni and then you don't have to worry about cooking because you poured it into a second kli. So now you're saying you can pour that back into the foam pot. But
because it's still very boiling hot.
Well,
yes.
But we rely on it.
So we rely on it one way.
Cooking,
but
and now we're saying
that's right.
It's okay to put it back in.
Yeah, so take advantage of it.
But we have it above ways.
No, it's reduced its ability to cook. But it still can't be cooked more from something else.
It can't cook something else.
More, but it's still considered hot.
But isn't that
still considered hot? I hear your question. Yeah. I hear your question.
Isn't it because once it's boiled in a kettle, it's been fully cooked and it can't be cooked anymore? Because it was boiled once.
If it did get to 212.
In the kettle, it would have gone to. That's right. Because in an urn, it wouldn't have been.
So
boiled.
Here's the point. So even if it, let's say, went down a little, but it was boiling.
Right.
Here, you're right. So let's say, let's say, in the urn, it was 212. Okay? Now that I put it in the cup, it gets down to 200. Okay? Still was pretty hot, right? So it's no longer kli rishon anymore. So in terms of cooking something else, it's below 212, whatever, and now it doesn't have that ability. But now, based on what Mark told us, but once it hit 212, now even if it goes a little bit below, there's no problem of bringing it back up a little bit because it was still cooked once before. And that's why you can put it in the chulam pot.
Once it's a rolling boil, it's been.
But it now doesn't have the capacity on its own. If you put something in that cup, it can't cook like it was in the urn. And that's.
So it's not that it's going to get cooked.
Yeah, it's still a shady, but it's reduced. It's reduced to cook something else.
Right.
But it's not reduced in terms of going somewhere else because it was at 212.
It's no less than putting hot food in the chowder.
Now, there's one last point. Okay, there's one last point. When you do put the hot water into the chulam pot, there's a side halacha you have to be aware of that the Rambam will talk about in a couple halachas. We're going to learn you now how to stir a pot with food, because lest there might be something that's not totally cooked, that the stirring could cook it up. That's extended even to pouring hot water. If you pour it in fast, it could move around some of the food, and that's like stirring the food and like cooking the food. And therefore, they suggest that if you're going to be pouring hot water into the chulam pot, you should remove the chulam pot off of the blach. Or move it to an area that's not directly over the fire when you're pouring the water over the kettle, because then you're not stirring it over the fire. However, if that's not possible, let's say the pot's too heavy for you to pick up, then you could just pour the water slowly, just slowly, so it doesn't move things around to that extent.
Even if it's cooked?
Again, we're always choshesh, maybe it's not cooked. This will not be a problem with a crock pot. Generally speaking, this problem does not exist with crock pots. But let's say a pot on top of the stove, you're afraid there could be some kernels that didn't get totally cooked. But with a crock pot, we're generally not concerned about that. All right, one halacha, but you got it thoroughly.